got Judges 13 is where we'll be tonight, and this will be a little bit different style of preaching for me. I've got about 8 or 9 messages in this series here. Don't let that scare you. But I'm going to time in as much as I can, be mindful of God. No doubt you know, or you've at least already looked down to the Scripture, you know where I'm at and the story that I'm fixing to deal with in the Scripture. Please don't let the familiarity of where we're at tonight take your thoughts away from what the Lord has for you. It might seem a little bit different. A lot of times when you go somewhere to preach, especially the first time, you know you want to preach something upbeat, something nice, and that just ain't going to happen tonight. So y'all just listen. So y'all just listen to what the Lord, Word of the Lord has to say to us tonight. I believe He's got something to help us in a mighty way. I appreciate your pastor, Little Ivy, very much. And as he was saying, I guess I was probably 14 about that time when we met him, 14, 15 years old. And he's not changed. He's still the same man of God he was. He's still standing the same, still preaching the same. And I appreciate that very much. I appreciate some men that are still standing by the book and standing by God and serving Him. We appreciate the influence He's had on our life. Thank you for the privilege to preach, preacher. Good place to stay. Everything. May God be blessed through it. Let's stand to our feet tonight in reference to reading the Word of God if you're physically able to. I won't read the whole chapter of Judges 13, but let me read about the first 7 verses. Then we'll read the last couple of verses on into chapter number 14, and we'll begin to give you what the Lord would have for us tonight. The Bible says this in Judges chapter number 13, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Skip down with me the last 2 verses, verse 24 and 25 of chapter 13. The Bible says, And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Chapter 14, verse 1, Bible says, And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Thank you for standing. You can be seated if you would pray with us tonight. Our Father in heaven, as we bow again before the throne of grace, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you for the good singing that we've heard, the good preaching from the Word of God. Father, we thank you for how it helped our hearts. Father, now as we stand in this sacred place, Lord, we need your help and we need your touch. Father, I'm not able to preach in and of myself, for I can preach nothing outside of Christ Jesus the Lord. Father, tonight, would you anoint me? Father, would you hide me behind my calling and behind Christ tonight? Let this church and this congregation, Father, be changed through the Word of God. Would you convict us? Would you challenge us? Father, change us for your glory. Father, that we'd be better Christians and to please you more in our life. Thank you for Calvary and for all your goodness upon our life. And what you do for us tonight, we'll praise you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in Judges 13, I won't give you a whole lot of introduction, but let me lay just a little bit before we get to our message tonight. At this time in Israel's history, it's a very interesting time. Seven times they have rebelled into a state of apostasy against God. Now, God at this time in Israel's history has chosen to use the Philistines, their arch enemies, to punish them for 40 years, and God has placed that punishment upon their lives. Now, it's at this time that our text takes place, and you have this man by the name of Samson that we all know was born at this time. To notice a few things here, first of all, I'd like you to notice the meaning of Samson. Samson's name, it means son. It means sunlight or a sun child or the little sun. In very dark days in the nation of Israel, here was a man that was born whose name means light. At a time when they were in darkness, God sent a man that way that should have been the light that they needed in their life. You find not only the meaning of Samson, but the making of Samson. Chapter number 13, verse number 24, the Bible says this, the very last phrase of the verse, and the Lord blessed him. The word blessed there in that verse of Scripture, it means to make or it means to form one. In other words, Samson was not just an individual who was placed in Israel this time by chance. God has made this man Samson into the individual that we're fixing to look about here in just a few minutes. What God making? The Bible said, told his mother this, he'll be a Nazarite till the day of his death. In other words, he was a man that had a vow with God. He wouldn't cut his hair. He wouldn't drink wine or strong drink, and he wouldn't touch a dead body. He was a man that God made to be different. Can I say that's what God has done for you and I as his children? He's made us to be different in our life. He's set us apart from the world and from everybody else. He's made us what he desires for us to be. Samson as well, some would argue, and if it wasn't for Hebrews 11, I might as well, some would argue whether Samson was saved. But I know, according to Hebrews 11, Samson's in heaven today. He was the same man. He was made of God. Meaning of Samson, the making of Samson. But I notice a misconception about Samson. You could go back into your mind, those of you that are older, to the days where you was very little in Sunday school, and when you were taught about Samson, you immediately pictured this big hulk-like man who looked like he would just have all the strength in the world and be able to do anything that he wanted to do. But the truth of the matter is, that wasn't so about Samson. He was just a normal man. Say, how do you know that? Chapter number 16, flip over there. Chapter number 16, verse number 5. Verse number 6, the Bible says, and the Lord of the Philistines came up to her, talking about an island, said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. We will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Verse number 6, Delilah said, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth. Although Samson is known as being the strongest man in the Bible, when you looked at him, you just saw a normal man. There was nothing different about his appearance. Nothing stood out in the muscular skeletal form of his body. He was just a normal man that God had made to do a work. Can I say that because of this, Samson was a man that had the utmost potential in his life. God had made him into exactly what he wanted him to be. He was given strength that was not of his own, strength that lied fully in the fact that he was a Nazarite, separate unto God. But what the sad thing I find about Samson is this, when you begin to look Judges 13 through Judges 16, I don't find a great story about this man, Samson. I find rather a very tragic story in our Bible about this great man. Here's a man that had the potential, to use the terminology of our day, of being a great hero, but he ends up being a zero. Here's a man that could have been the greatest victor to ever walk the face of the earth, but he ended up being a victim. Here's a man that if I could describe his life with just a few words would be words such as disobedience, words such as defeat and disgrace and a life of detours and a life of danger and ultimately a life of destruction. Then that being said, notice this with me, lastly by way of introduction, you notice the master of Samson. Chapter number 14 and verse number 3. You find the very first time that we'll find what masters Samson's life in the latter part of the verse. The Bible says this, and Samson said unto his father, get her for me, and then notice this phrase, for she pleaseth me well. Samson, although was a great man by meaning, although he was a great man by what God had made him to be, he was mastered by the wrong thing in his life. He was mastered by his self. His life started out here in chapter number 14 being pleased of himself. His life ends in chapter number 16 once again pleasing himself. From the time he's born to the time he dies, one of the greatest men in your Bible lives a life pleasing unto himself. Notice this verse of Scripture. Judges 13, verse number 5. The Bible says, and once again the angel of the Lord is talking to Samson's mother, says, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And then notice this, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Here's a man that could have, if he would have minded God in his life, completed the work that God had for Israel. Here's a man that could have completely brought Israel out of the bondage that they were placed in. But because he pleased himself, he ended his life in misery. Notice with me what I want to preach on tonight. When he said, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. I want to preach tonight on the dangers of pleasing self. The dangers of pleasing self. I want to notice how we consider these things. I want to notice the cost of these things and notice the cure for them. So let's notice these dangerous situations that Samson was in his life as he was pleasing himself. Chapter number 14, verse number 1 through verse number 3. You see, first of all, that Samson was living dangerously by pleasing himself because he dishonored his parents. Notice what the Bible said. Samson went down to Timnath. He saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and he told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then the last part of verse number 3, the Bible says that Samson said unto her father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Here's a man that was pleasing himself by dishonoring his parents. Can I say today that I still believe that the Bible teaches that a child, no matter what age, ought to honor the parents that God has given them in their life. Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 12. Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 1 and verse number 2. You know it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's still right, young people, to obey your mom and daddy. It's still right to listen to what they have to say. It's still right to listen to what they tell you to do and what not to do. Now, How did Samson dishonor his parents? Notice about three things. First of all, he dishonored them in his steps. Notice what the Bible says in verse 1. He went down to Timnath. He went somewhere where his parents had Israelites and no doubt told him he had no business being. He went somewhere where he knew from his parents and from the position that he's been in his life where he knew he ought not to go. Can I say tonight, young people, there's places that your parents have told you you ought not to go in your life for a reason. Samson would have never have found himself in the trouble he found himself in his life if he had just minded his parents in his steps. Say that your parents know a lot more than you know. Your mom and daddy's been down the road a lot farther than you've been down the road. A lot farther than I've been down the road. They've seen things that I've not seen. They've gone places that we've not been before. When they tell you not to go somewhere, you ought to not go there. He dishonored them in his steps. He dishonored them in his sight. Verse number 1 again, the Bible says when he went down there that he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Because he dishonored them by going where he ought not to go, he saw some things that he should not have seen. Can I say that your parents have placed a guard about your life to protect you from seeing things in this world that you have no business seeing? We live in a wicked and ungodly society where the eyes of men, Brother Zach, are able to see many things that we ought not to see. You ought to thank God tonight if you've got parents that don't allow you to see some things in this world. That's to say, you say, well, so-and-so's got this, and so-and-so has this type of social media and this type of entertainment. They see this and see that. I don't understand why mom and daddy won't let me look at that thing. They're just trying to protect you from seeing things that you ought not to see in your life that would cause you to please yourself. He dishonored them in his steps. He dishonored them in his sight. He dishonored them in his speech. First of all, his speech was one of lust. Verse number 2 and verse 3, I won't read it again, but his speech was to his father in a matter of lust for this woman that he seen at Timnath. He tells his daddy things that he shouldn't have told his daddy. Not only was it a speech of lust, notice it was a speech of lying. Verse number 6, after he goes down to Timnath and he convinces his mom and daddy to go with him, they're on their way down there, and you know the story. He comes to the vineyards, and we'll look at that more in a minute. He comes to the vineyards, a lion roars against him. He kills this lion with his bare hands. But notice the end of verse number 6. But he told not his father or his mother what he'd done. Verse number 9, he took therefore in his hands, went on eating, came to his father and his mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Here's a man that had a great desire from God upon his life to do something great in the people of Israel. But he's pleasing himself by lying to his mama and to his daddy. Young people, if you find yourself in a situation of where it's easy, as it was for Samson, to lie to your parents, you've got real issues in your life about pleasing yourself, not minding your parents and not minding God in your life. He was only interested in what he wanted to do and what would please him in his life. He didn't care if mom and daddy knew where he'd been. He didn't care if mom and daddy knew what he'd done. All he cared about was himself. Now, verse number 4 is a verse that a lot of people skip over and they leave it out. The Bible says, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now, I've heard preachers say, and you probably have too, that here in this verse, because of what God was intending to do through Samson, that God was justifying the sin of Samson to his parents. That's not what's taking place. You notice the Bible says that his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he saw an occasion against the Philistines. In other words, they didn't know it, but Samson did. Samson knew what God was trying to do when he went down there and he saw the things that he didn't need to see. Samson could have stayed then and took that woman from Timnath to be his wife and everything would have been fine. But no, Samson, in his lazy way of pleasing himself, went back and said, Daddy, he said, I've got this woman down there. And he said, I can't do it right now in and of myself for whatever reason. I'm more interested in doing something else. You go get her for me. You take care of my problems. You take care of my wants. You take care of my desires in my life. And Daddy, let me just do my own thing. Is that not the situation a lot of our young people are in the day and hour we live in? We're interested in somebody else doing what God is trying to do in our lives, and we go and have somebody else do it so that we can please our own self in our life. Samson was living dangerously and pleasing himself by dishonoring his parents. Number two, you notice this, Samson went down and he deserted his promise. Notice, first of all, the promise, chapter number 13, verse number 7 again. The angel speaking to his mother, he said, Behold, thou shalt conceive, bear a son. Now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Chapter 14, verse number 1. Notice one word. Samson went down. Verse number 5. Then went Samson down. Verse number 7, and he went down. Here's a man that has the promise of God upon his life. He's been promised to be different. He's promised to be set apart. He's been promised to be separated. Brother Timmy, what he's doing now is he finds himself going down. Can I say, anytime you desert what God has placed upon your life for you to do, there is no other choice but for you to go down in your life. You'll never succeed in this life. You'll never go up in this life walking away from the direction that God has led you in your life. We've got a lot of people trying to make up their own rules and their own ways as they go along about what God's going to have for them to do. But when God places a direction on your life, when you turn and go another way, the only way for you to go is down in your life. Can I say, you say, but preacher, I said, I'm going there. I'm trying to bring those up to where I am. Samson wasn't interested in going down in the land of the Philistines to bring anybody back other than one that pleased himself. The whole realm of what Samson was doing was selfish in the whole matter. He went down just because he was trying to please himself. The calling that God had upon his life meant absolutely nothing to Samson at this time. All he was interested in was pleasing himself. Now, watch this. Chapter 14, verse number 5. When he begins to go down, Bible says, Then went Samson down and his father and mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. When you go down, the very first place you're going to find yourself is somewhere you're not supposed to be to begin with. Samson was a Nazarite. He had the vow placed upon his life. He was not supposed to drink wine or strong drink or be in the place of a vineyard. But the very first place he finds himself as he's pleasing himself is where he was not supposed to be. Can I say this? God is a complete gentleman. He'll place his calling upon your life and give you the opportunity and the privilege to serve him. But if you choose not to do so, he's not going to step in for long. It won't intervene. His grace and His mercy, they'll not always intervene in your life. He'll eventually let you go somewhere where you have no business being if you're interested in pleasing yourself. When he went down, he ended up in a vineyard because he goes back to where he knew he should not have been, just to please himself. Now, watch this. It gets worse. Verse number 7, Bible says, and he went down and he talked with the woman. She pleased Samson well. Notice this. Verse 8, and after a time, he returned to take her. Notice this. He turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now, the first time Samson goes down, he finds himself in a vineyard. He kills a lion, so he's touched a body, a dead body that he's not allowed to touch. Now, you would think if a man had any interest in serving God, Brother Dotson, that he would stay as far away from that place as he possibly could. But the next time Samson goes down to Timnath, what's he do? He returns back to the same place where he found problem the first time that he went down. You see, when you're interested in pleasing self, you'll never get enough of self in your life. When all that matters is you, you'll never feel that void left from you in your life. He returns to the very same sin that started causing him problems when he began to go down in his life. Notice this. Notice something else. Bible said, notice where he's at. Not just what he's done, where he's at. He's in Timnath. He's among the Philistines. Here's a man that God said, I'm going to begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines through his life. In other words, Samson makes a choice to go into the very presence of the enemies that God has given him in his life. Can I say that you and I, and we know this, we have a great enemy tonight. Satan is our enemy. He is very good at what he does in trying to bring us down and destroy our lives. But you want to know the truth? So many times you and I help him do what his job is in our life. All because of our self. Samson put his presence in the presence of his enemies. And because of that, it'll eventually cost him his life. All because he's pleasing himself. He had a promise upon his life that he was to be different. You and I have a promise upon our life that we're to be different. We're to be separated. We're to be set apart in the eyes of this world unto God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 17, the Bible says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now I know that in the day and hour we live in, that preaching about separation is not popular and is not well liked upon, but the truth of the matter is this, it's still in the book. It's still the Word of God for you and I as the child of God to be different in our life. There ought to be something about us that this world knows nothing about. There ought to be something when this world sees you young people that they can tell there's something different about your life. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1 and verse number 2. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know the reason why we're to be separated, why we're to be different? Because it pleases God for us to be that way.
He said in verse number 1, when he said, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Then he throws in that phrase, which is your reasonable service. To put that in the simplest terminology, here's what it means. It just makes sense for you to live your life pleasing unto God. It just makes sense for you to serve God with your life. Think about what all God has done for you in your life. How He saved you and changed your life. It just makes sense for me to be different and for me to serve Him in my life. He said we're to be not conformed to this world. That word conform there, it means to fit into. It means to fit the mold. It means to fit the style of the day and hour that we live in. Does it not seem weird that in our independent Baptist movement, that our churches in the day and hour we live in are doing everything they can to be just like the world? They're doing everything they can to fit in to the normality of the day and hour that we live in. But God's command still stands. He says, you're to be not conformed to this world. You're not to wear what the world wears. You're not to go where the world goes. You're not to act like the world acts. You're not to watch what the world watches. You're not to listen to what the world listens to. You're to be different in your life. You're to be set apart. Samson had that vow upon his life. But when he became interested in pleasing self, his difference and his separation went out the window. It was no more. Samson fit in with the Philistines. He just looked like one of them.
Notice something else, verse number 10. Bible says, so his father went down unto the woman. Can I say this? Anytime you make a decision to please yourself and go down in your life, you're not the only one that's going to be affected by it. You're going to take somebody else down in your life. And well, you say, but preacher, I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. There's nobody watching me. There's nobody following me. You'd be surprised in here tonight, from the youngest Christian to the oldest, how many people you got looking at your life, looking at what you're doing for God, looking at how you're following God and how you're minding God in your life. And if you make a decision in your life to go down and to start pleasing self, I promise you, you're going to take somebody with you. Samson took his own daddy down when he went to please himself to tend it. Young people, listen to me tonight. How would you like to ruin the life of your mom and your daddy because you choose to please yourself? How would you like to pull that dear man of God down tonight just because you've chosen to please yourself? It's sad the day and hour we live in. How many people are falling aside and going away? I remember when I surrendered to preach as a 12-year-old boy. Brother Scotty, I remember about that time, there was 5 or 6 other young preachers. All of us within a year of each other, all of us surrendered to preach about that time. Some of us, 3 of us, preached our same messages, our first message together in the same service. I look around today, though, Brother Dotson, and outside of me, and nothing good in me, but listen, outside of me, there's only one of those young men still in church of any kind today. You want to know why? Because there came a place, a point in their life when they wanted to please self. And when one of them wanted to please self, guess what happened? The next one fell right in line and followed him down. When that one fell in line and started pleasing self, Brother Scotty, the next one fell right in line and started doing the same thing. You do not know who is watching you in your life and who you are having effect on in your life. If you choose to please self tonight, don't think you're going to ruin just your own life. I promise you, there'll be somebody else that you're going to take down with you in your life. I'm trying to hurry. Samson went down and he deserted his promise. Thirdly, Samson distorted his purpose. Verse number 10, chapter number 14 is where it began. I won't read all these verses for sake of time. But the Bible says he made a feast. And you know the story there. He goes in. He prepares a feast after taking this woman to be his wife. And he begins to play and to twist the true meaning of what God has for his life. Notice about three things in it. First of all, again, the people that he's with. Verse number 10, as he makes this feast, Bible said in verse number 11, and it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Now, that wasn't 30 Israelites that his daddy went back and brought down to Timnath to be with him. No, they brought in 30 men of the Philistines, the men that he's supposed to be destroying, the men that he's supposed to be overcoming in his life. They bring these same men in to be part of Samson's life. He's choosing to be with people that are just like him now. He's choosing to place himself amongst a group of people that are only interested in their flesh and in their self. Can I say today, you show me, it's been said many times, you show me who your friends are, and I'll show you who you are in your life. Proverbs says this, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Can I say this tonight? The people that you hang around are going to have an effect upon your life, whether you want them to or not. Do not think tonight, young people, that you're of any great importance and hold any high enough standard that you can change everybody else who's around you. It's a whole lot easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull somebody up. Samson's already went down. What's he doing now? He's just going even farther down in his life because he's pleasing himself, the people he's with. But notice in verse number 12 what the Bible says. Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it with me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. What I find interesting in that text with Samson's purpose in his life, it's not just the people he's with, but he's playing games with the purpose that God has for his life. He looks at these people that he's supposed to have power over, and instead of overcoming them, he gives them a riddle. He starts playing games with the ones that are trying to destroy God's people in his life. Do we not live in a day where our so-called Christianity is not playing games with the world and the things of God? We live in a day to where it's just a joke to come to church anymore. Where in the world's eyes, it's just a joke to live godly and to live separated and to be different. And the sad part is, it's not a joke to the world. It's a joke to those that are sitting on the pews of our churches in the day and hour that we live in. We Christians are playing games with a purpose that God has for our life. There's not a person in here, from the youngest to the oldest, God does not have a purpose for your life. Every one of you, God has a plan set aside for your life. And it's sad to say, very few, if any, have ever reached the full potential that God has for their life. Why? Because they played games with the purpose that God has for their life. Why was he playing games? To please himself. He was doing it all just to get a laugh. Just to get a little bit of a enjoyment in his own life. He was just doing it to fill his own self with his own ways. You know what that leads to? It leads to a Christian being in a backslidden state. Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 14. Bible says the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. You all know the first step to you being backslidden on God. You know what it is? Self. It's you being filled with your own self, your own ways, doing what you want to do, going where you want to go, playing games with the calling that God has placed upon your life. Notice, because of this, the possessions that he had to give up. Bible says that in these verses of scripture that they go, and I won't read them all, they go and entice his wife. He calls his wife a heifer. Man, I don't recommend that. He goes and he says they plowed with a heifer to find out the outcome of this riddle. And because of that, he has to go and kill 30 men to get their clothes, their raiments, their seats, to pay off the joke that he was playing with the calling that God had on his life. He did not even have the wherewithal to pay for the position that he's found himself in. When you go down in your life and you find yourself pleasing self, you'll not even find a way of your own self to get out of it. Notice this. Fourthly, Samson defiled his purity. Chapter number 16. I won't spend a lot of time here because I need to move on to the next point. But the Bible says, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Verse number 4. Came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Here's a man that had every opportunity in his life to have the abundance of the power of God move upon his life. But he pleased himself. And what he's doing it now in is this. He defiles the purity of his life. Now in the day and hour we live in, young people, listen to me. You live in a world that cares nothing about your purity. They care nothing about the fact that whether or not you walk the marriage altar with the one that God intended for you to have or not, your purity is useless and it's worthless in the eyes of this world. But God is still interested in you being pure in your life. Samson's done found himself with at least 3 women in his life. Here's a man that's supposed to be different. Man that's supposed to be separated. But he's defiled the purity that God had intended for his life to have. We could go to the book of Proverbs, and I won't for sake of time, and I can walk you through the book of Proverbs and show you time after time after time of men defiling their purity with a woman in their life. You listen to me, young men. Be careful. Be careful with the purity that God has given you in your life. Guard it. Place a guard about it in your life. Your purity is not worth fulfilling the pleasures of self. Bible says we live in a day where, you know, we are good, independent, fundamental, judgmental, Bible-believing Baptist brethren have really played down the subject of being pure to the fact of, well, you know, it's not such a big deal if this situation happened, or it's not such a big deal if I just look at something wrong, or it's not such a big deal if I just see something that I shouldn't have seen. Defiling your purity is wrong, no matter what the situation may be. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Be careful of your purity in your life. Now I know we hark on that with the young men, but I tell you as well, we live in a day where it's just as much the women that are defiling the purity of young men as it is young men defiling the purity of young women. We live in a day where young people and old do not care about the vows and the promises that have been made to God in their life. They don't matter anymore. They're useless. Why? Rezak, all they're interested in is pleasing self. Let me get just a little bit of enjoyment. Let me see how this is going to work out for just a little bit. I won't go far. Let me just test it out to see what might take place. That never works. You'll always end up farther than you wanted to go and in more trouble than you ever thought you could be in your life. Now, lastly, and here's where I need to get to. Samson diluted his power. Chapter number 16 again. Starting in verse number 4, I won't read the whole text. Let me play out a little bit of it for you, though, if I may. After he went into this harlot at Gaza, the Bible said, verse number 4, came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Now, I'm not going to argue with you tonight over the fact that Samson was used of God. We could walk through and see all the Philistines that he slew, all the works that he did in his life. Samson was used of God. But don't ever forget that God can use whatever He chooses to use. God doesn't even have to use a saved person. God can use a lost man to do His work if He wants to do. He used a whale to bring Jonah to a place appointed where he needed to be. He used two milk cows to bring the presence of God back to Israel. He used a donkey to get Balaam right with God. God can use whatever He wants to use. I'm not arguing with you tonight over the fact that Samson was used, but you would have to agree with me on this. Samson was not used to the full extent of his power in his life. Samson limited God in what God could do with Samson's life. You say, you can limit God? Sure you can. Bible says the children of Israel, that they limited the Holy One of Israel. You can affect the hand of God and how He uses your life. How He places the unction upon your life. Now, watch this. How did Samson elude his power? Verse number 4, first of all, it was through his passion. The Bible says that he loved the woman in the valley of Sorek. He's now fell in love with something outside of himself, but it's really no different than himself. He's found himself in the lap of a woman that is only interested in pleasing herself. You say, how do you know that? What's she fixing to do? She's fixing to sell him. She's fixing to put him to sleep on her lap and let a man come in and cut off his hair just to get a little bit of payment in her life. She's pleasing self. Can I say that the longer you live this life for self, the more you'll find yourself loving yourself in your life. The love that you once had for God and for the things of God, it'll be no more, because now it's all about falling in love with self. It is for his passion. But notice once again, it's through his playing. Verse number 6, down to verse 15, we won't read them for sake of time. But she entreats of him, Samson, tell me wherein thy power lie, wherein thy great strength lie. He tells her in these verses of scripture, verse number 7, if they bind me with 7 green withs, he said, then I'll be weak and be as any other man. Verse number 10 says, Delilah said, Samson, thou hast mocked me, hast told me lies. Verse number 11, he said, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak. He breaks them off his hands. Verse 13, she says again, you mocked me. Verse 14, she says, fasten my head with the 7 locks in a weaver's web. She does it. He's playing games with himself and with those around him in his life. Let me say tonight, the power of God on your life is nothing to play games with. The fact that God has chosen you, and I've slowed down for some reason, you need to get this. The fact that God has chosen you, and the fact that God has saved you, and the fact that God has put you in the position that He's put you in, He's given you great power to accomplish what He wants you to accomplish in your life. It's not something to take lightly. You better take seriously the fact that the God of all heaven has seen fit to place His power upon your life. Take it very seriously tonight. Notice with me how far he went in playing games. Four times Delilah questions him. Now, let me ask you a question. After the first time, would you not have figured out that something was wrong? Would you not have figured out that something was trying to take place in Samson's life? Would you not have figured out when she told you, "Tell me wherein thy great strength lies," that she's trying to do something to take your power away? It would seem that Samson would have figured it out. We would think, if it was ourselves in that situation, man, that just don't make sense. I would know that there's something wrong. I would know that they're trying to take my power. But the problem is this. He's not interested no more in the power. He's just interested in himself. The fact that she's trying to take his power away means nothing to him anymore. Now watch this as well. Notice the terminology. Verse number 7, the Bible says this. Samson said unto her, "If they bind me with 7 green withs." Now, verse number 9. "Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber." Verse number 12, middle of the verse. "And there were liars in wait, abiding in the chamber." You say, what's important about that? When Samson walked into Delilah's house, he saw that Delilah was not alone. Now you look back at the, you say, well, it could have been a big house. There could have been rooms. Probably not in that culture in the day and hour they're living in. The Bible makes it clear that Samson said, "If they bind me, if they put these cords upon my hands." In other words, Samson knew that there were Philistines in the same house that he's in, and it did not bother him one bit. The very people that he was called to deliver Israel out of their hands, he's now lying down in the lap of a woman looking at them in the same house, and it does not bother him. When you're interested in pleasing yourself, you won't care what company you're in. You won't care who you see. You won't care who sees you. You won't care what position you're in. All you'll care about is yourself. Notice verse number 19 of the text. The Bible says this, "And she made him sleep upon her knees." Not only is Samson in these verses of Scripture seeing that there's Philistines around, he doesn't care. Not only is he playing games with his power, but now he's being controlled by one that is even weaker than he is. Delilah looks at Samson, and the Bible says she made him to sleep. When you please yourself, you'll find yourself being controlled by things that are a whole lot weaker than even you are in your own life. Now, watch this. Here's where I need to get to. You see the passion of Samson in the looting of his power, the playing, but notice the parting. Verse number 20, the latter part of the verse, as far as I'm concerned, is the saddest verse in the whole life of Samson. Bible says, "And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." The first parting was this. The power of the Lord is gone from Samson. And the sad part is this. He did not even know it. If you're interested in that, young people, in pleasing yourself, there'll come a day when God's going to leave you alone. There'll come a day when God's going to step back. He'll take His hands off your life and He'll let you do what you want to do. He'll let you please yourself. All you want to please yourself. And the sad part is, you won't even know He's gone. You won't even know that the power of God has left your life. Verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass and he did grind in the prison house. The first parting was the power of the Lord. The second parting was the presence of light. The Bible says they took out his eyes. He had no light, no vision, no way to see anymore. You listen to me, young people. Those are Little Ivy Baptist Church. I've heard your pastor preach many times. You've been given much light in your life. You've been shown the way to walk in. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know the way to walk. You know where you shouldn't go. What you ought to do. What you ought not to do. But if you're interested in pleasing self, there'll come a day where that light will be gone. You'll no longer be able to see what you weren't seeing in your life. Wouldn't it be horrible, Brother Scotty, for there to come a day when I couldn't see anymore what I've seen down through my life? I think back, Brother Zach, down through the years, what I've seen God do, how I've seen God work, how I've seen the mighty hand of God and the power of God fall, how I've experienced the presence of God in my life. Oh, I would hate to know that there would come a day but I wouldn't be able to see that anymore. Young people, if you please yourself, there'll come a day when that sight will no longer be in your life. The presence of light parted from his life, but then the passing of his life. Verse 26, the Bible says, and Samson said, and I won't cover all this in between, you know the story. Samson said to the lad that held him by the hand, notice the terminology of these verses, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon thou standest, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God. And then notice this phrase, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Here's a man that when you're introduced to him, all he cares about is that his daddy goes and gets a woman because she pleases him well. He's fixing to die. He knows he's fixing to die. He's fixing to take his own life. Do you notice why he said, I want to do it? That I may be once avenged for my two eyes. Now Samson, Bible says that he, in these verses of scripture, the dead they slew in his death was more than they which slew in his life. He did more to fulfill God's purpose for his life when he died than he did when he was living. You want to know why? Because God couldn't even use him fully until he let him complete his desire to please himself. In other words, God said, all right, Samson. Said, you want to please yourself with a woman? He said, I'll let your daddy go down there and get her. He went and got her. You want to live your life and defile the promise that God has placed upon your life? He said, go to the vineyard. He said, walk in the vineyard. He said, I'll let a lion come. He said, you kill the lion. You take the life of the lion. He said, defile it again. He said, when you go back, he said, you take the honey out of the body of the lion. He said, take it. He said, just defile your promise just a little bit more. He said, you go down there. He said, you find your harlot. He said, go. He said, go live with her. He said, you go into the lila. He said, do it all. And when it comes time for Samson to die, the Bible says he called on the Lord. And he said, Lord, hear me one more time. And God said, all right, Samson, what do you want? And he said, Lord, let me be avenged for my eyes. He said, all right, Samson, I'm going to give you what you want. Isn't it, don't you find it interesting that God didn't save Samson? Samson was the one that was to begin to deliver Israel. You would think that God would have saved him. But God looked at Samson and he said, Samson, he said, if all you're interested in is yourself, he said, I'm going to give you exactly what you want. You better be careful tonight. You better be careful. If you find yourself living your life to please self, there's going to come a day when you do not understand what's going on and you call on God. And He's going to give you exactly what you think you want. And it'll probably cost you your life. Samson's sin of selfishness, it confined him, it controlled him, it confused him, and it concluded his life. It's sad that because of self, all that God could have done with Samson was limited to just beginning a work in Israel. Now, I've already preached an hour. I won't go on longer. But can I say this? There is a cure for selfishness. I could walk you through the whole Bible, give you many verses. Paul talked about dying daily to self, many verses that we could talk about. But in John 3:30, I believe I can show you the cure with one verse. John 3:30, He must increase, but I must decrease. The word increase and the word decrease in that verse of Scripture are written in the continual tense, meaning as Christ increases, there will never be an end to His increasing. It'll just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But in order for Him to do that, you've got to decrease. And that means you, yourself, your flesh, you just keep becoming less and less and less and less to where there's nothing else left of self, but it's all Him. He precedes those two words with the word must. In other words, it's a necessity. Can I say tonight, that in order for you to overcome the sin of selfishness in your life, it is a necessity that He must increase and you must decrease. Don't find yourself in the same situation Samson found himself in. The strongest man of the Bible died being defeated of his own self. Philistines didn't take his life. God didn't take his life. Some people believe God didn't take his life. God just gave him what he wanted. If you live your life for self, you're living a very lonely road to destruction in your life. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If I get